copies of each one of them, and most of them are gone now from last week and the last few weeks. So if you're missing one from last week, lesson 5, or any of the other lessons, let me know. I'll try to have more copies out there next week again. We've got, this is 6, we have 7, 8, and 9 to go. Not 7, 8, and 9 lessons to go. 3 lessons to go, lessons 7, 8, and 9. And so I'll try to continue to do that on the back table, because I know some of you have missed some of the lessons. You're trying to catch up on those, but that'll be back there on the back table next week. And if you need it this week, well, just let me know and I'll give it to you. By the way, several people have asked me to do it online, and if you need it through email, I can send them to you through email, and there's only a $200 charge for that. No, there's no charge at all for that. So if you'd rather have them that way, let me know, and I'll get them to you that way. Your lesson at the top should talk. We're still talking about developing moral character. We have 3 of those lessons. Last week, we talked about developing character. We talked about authority for your authority and for your parents, which basically, in some senses, are the same. This week, we're going to talk about age. Next week, we'll talk about property, your peers, having knowing how to honor other people's property, knowing how to honor your peers, and knowing how to honor nature. What do you do? Is it ethical to kill animals? Is it ethical to do this? And where does the Bible stand on that? And how do you teach kids? I think it's ethical, but I think it's also can be wasteful and cruel. And there's a line there. But we'll talk about that next week. So we're talking about developing moral character. We're talking about honoring age. I put that first sentence on there, I believe, in America. That principle has pretty much been lost in the last 50 years. A lot of things have changed in the last 40, 50 years. Some would say even longer than that. A lot of things have changed that from when I was a child, and most of you would say the same thing if you're my age. You don't talk to adults. You couldn't talk to adults then like you talk to adults today. Children say things to adults today that even I'm kind of like, whoa, okay. We're going to go back to that. Where does that come from? Does the Bible uphold that? What's the principle? So if you're looking at your notes, I actually put a long list of scriptures there. I'm only going to read 2 of them. You can read the rest of them as far as principle is concerned. But the main 2 scriptures I like to talk to young people about, Leviticus 19:32, simply says, "Thou shalt rise up before the hoary head or the gray head and honor the face of the old man and fear thy God. I am the Lord." I always note, by the way, when the two things are connected with the fear of the Lord or honoring God, if you honor your parents, you cannot honor the Lord if you're not honoring age, if you're not honoring the gray head, if you're not paying attention to that. It's connected in that verse, and well should be. And then, of course, 1 Timothy chapter 5, rebuke not an elder. You don't tell the elders what's right. They tell you what's right. Entreat him as a father and the younger men as brethren, the elder women as mothers, the younger as sisters, with all purity. Honor widows that are widows indeed. And so the principle goes all throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament when it comes to this idea of honoring age. There's a line there, and I'll talk about that. I think it's on point number 5 there in a minute. We'll get to that. But let me give you some basic truths, and then I'm going to get into the very practical side of it. Number 2, giving honor to those who are older shows that you honor and reverence the Lord. You can't say you honor the Lord if you don't obey what He tells you to do. That's a fairly simple fact, right? I don't think that's complicated also. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on that. These 2 are linked together in the Scripture. Respect for age shows our agreement with God. Just tolerating your elders is not good enough. Okay? I didn't want to teach my kids when they went to my parents' house or their grandparents' house to just be okay with it. Like, okay, fine. All right. Yeah. All right. Okay. No. No. I want them to learn to interact with people that are older and learn to gain some information from those people and have an actual relationship with them, not just we're at grandma's house so we can do what we want kind of thing. And so it's not just tolerating them, it's actually showing respect. Proverbs 23:22, honor thy father which begat thee and despise not thy mother when she is old. Basically, all it's saying there is listen and love. Okay? That's exactly what those hearken to. Hearken means to listen, despise not to love. Listen and love to those who are older. If I could just get that message across to the younger generation, and I'm not just talking about kids, and I'm not just talking about teenagers. I'm talking about millennials, and I'm talking about 30 years old and 40 year old people who still don't respect age. They never learned it, and they still are rude and abusive. I see things like that. You know, you go to the grocery store, and you see how people, the old person gets in their way in the aisle. Have you ever been in a small grocery store aisle and an older person stops their buggy and then they walk on this side of the buggy, so now they're blocking the whole aisle? You know what you do when that happens? You stand behind them and go, "Hey, hey, move!" Right? No. You respect people. Have a little honor for age. And so sometimes, you know, they don't see you. And that's the general idea. Number four, number three, teaching children to honor age is teaching them to value wisdom and experience. That's also a form of public testimony. Job said this, with the ancient is wisdom and length of days is understanding. So when you teach a child to honor age and you teach them to have a relationship with an older person, there's a lot of things they can learn. And there's a lot of truths. I love to hear my grandkids, which are now my dad's great grandkids, talk to my dad. We have several pictures that Carrie could show you where her kids are walking down the beach with their great grandfather talking to him. That's a wonderful thing, and they're gaining experience and they're gaining information. My dad's one of those guys who knows a little bit about everything, and he likes to prove that. I just tell him, you're 89, you should know a little bit about everything. You've been here longer than everybody else. You should have figured out some things. And so, but that is true. Sometimes just by sheer experience, they know better. And so there's a good idea for that. Then number four, this is for your own benefit as a parent. I don't know if you thought about this, but someday you will be old, right? And there is a biblical principle, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. If you don't show respect for age, don't be surprised that nobody shows respect when you're older. Okay, and it is for your own benefit. I wish I could spend some time talking about how you treat your parents or what you say about your parents around your children, because you may not be training them at that time, but you are training them at that time. When you criticize your parents and you make fun of the things that they do in front of your kids, you're training them to disrespect age, and they will eventually disrespect you. What you say about having to go to the nursing home or having to take care of them. Oh, he called me again and he needs it. Just think about what you're saying for a minute. You realize that it won't be that long. I'm 64. My grandkids told me I officially turned old. I'm officially old this year. I turned 65 in October, so I'm officially an old person. I guess that's when you get old, right? It happens to everybody. Sooner or later, you're going to get old. And if you don't respect age and you don't teach your kids to respect age, don't be surprised that they don't respect you when you're that age. And so it's actually a little bit for your own good. Now, let me say a caution here before I get into the rest of these principles. While we should honor age and value the wisdom of our elders, age is not the only indicator that a person deserves respect. Not every old person is worthy of respect, and not every old person is to be trusted. You have to draw a line here with kids that, yes, they should respect age. Yes, they should respect authority. Yes, they should respect position, right? A police officer or a president or whoever. But that does not necessarily mean that you do anything an older person or a police officer sometimes or somebody in authority tells you to do, because sometimes people in authority are wrong. And you have to, there's a delicate line you have to get your kids to understand. You say, well, how do you teach that? Experience. There's no other way to say, in this situation, this is what you do, and in this situation, this is what you do. Most of the time, I want my kids to honor age, and I want them to respect authority, and I want them to respect that person's position, but I don't want them blind obedience. I don't want them to say, he's wearing a badge, I'll do anything he says. Or he's got gray hair, he's an older person, I can trust him. A lot of pedophiles have gray hair and are older people. That doesn't necessarily mean you can trust them. So there's a line there, so just be cautious of that at the same time. The phrase, respect your elders, by the way, should not be used as a weapon to dismiss a young person's opinions or feelings just because you don't want to hear what they have to say. I've seen older people say that, do that. I'm thinking of a particular example in my mind, but I'm not going to give it to you because you might know the people in the example. But I know that I'm thinking of an example where a young person, I'd say about 13, was arguing with an older person in their 50s. The older person had said something inappropriate, and the young person corrected them and very politely. And the older person said, well, why do you say that? And the young person said, well, the Bible says, and very nicely quoted, didn't say you're a jerk or you're wrong, very handled it very nicely. I was standing right there watching the whole thing. And the older person said, you just need to be quiet and respect your elders. Okay, that's not respecting your elders. You're wrong. You're just trying to shut them down. You don't use respect for age that way as a weapon for a young person. I don't want to hear your opinion. I don't want to hear your voice. You're annoying me. Don't tell me I'm wrong. Maybe they shouldn't tell you you're wrong in public. Maybe there's places they shouldn't. But I kind of really want my kids to challenge something they know is wrong. Right? So again, there's a balance here, and it's hard to get that balance across the kids. Especially younger the kid is, the harder that's going to be. By the time they're a teenager, they can probably figure out those situations where that would fall into place. I used to quiz Carrie. You know, I'd say, if a policeman pulls you and he says, "Show me your license," what do you do? Okay, people, what do you do? You show him your license. If he goes back and he checks your license, comes back, "Could you step out of the car, please?" What do you do? Step out of the car. He said, "Now I'm going to have you sit in the back of my car while I run this. There's a problem here." What do? Well, you get in the back of the car. If you get in the back of the car and he says, "Now take off your blouse," what do? No. You understand what I'm saying? There's a line, and you have to have them to understand the line. Understand that there are, not that a policeman's hopefully ever going to do that, but you get my point. There are lines there, and so be careful how you can't just blindly say, "Always respect authority, always respect age, always respect people in position, do whatever they say." That's almost as dangerous as not respecting it at all. So there's a balance there. However, we must remember authority, respect, and obedience must be governed by or balanced by biblical principles. We ought to obey God rather than man. Our pastors, our senior pastor, he tells me what to do. He's my boss. I do what he says. On the most part, we hardly have any discussion on it. But if he got up one Sunday morning and said, "Hey, I want you to preach a message on the fact that the blood of Christ is not effective. If it's only his death, you don't have to have the blood in the Bible to," I would probably say no. But he's your boss. You have to do it. No, I don't. I have to teach what the Bible teaches. And so understand, when I talk about respect and I talk about honor and I talk about position, there are lines there, too. So don't just throw a blanket over everything. OK, so look at B. They're getting to the actual lesson now. That was just some introduction stuff. Teaching the basics. Now, there's several passages of scripture. If I was going to teach teenagers, I would use this whole list. I would read the entire list. I would go through and show them in every principle where in the Bible you see how age was respected, position was respected, and you need to learn to do that. And I would go through every one of those scriptures, or most of those scriptures, at least to give them the idea. This is not, because here's what happens. You say respect age, the kid's looking at you, "Well, you're older. Of course you want me to do that." Right? I mean, it's to my benefit if you do what I tell you and respect me. So it can be looked at that way. I don't want them to think I'm doing it because I'm older. I want them to think that's the thing to do because that's what the Scripture says, right? And so make sure you have a biblical basis behind it. After that, I gave you some general principles. Now, a lot of the verses that are above there have to do with kindness, with goodness, with gentleness, with love. You say, "Wait a minute, how's that got to do with respect?" Well, you are supposed to be kind, gentle, loving to everybody, but I think particularly those who are older and weaker physically, or maybe even weaker mentally, that's an extra portion I think needs to deserve. So how does that practically flesh out? All right, look at the next page. So here's some of my, you don't have to agree with all my list here. I think I listed 20 things. You don't have to agree with all of them, but I think all of them are something that I was taught when I was growing up. I wasn't taught the biblical principle behind them, but I thought this is what you do. I was raised in rural South Carolina, a little town of Marion, South Carolina. My dad has 5 brothers and a sister, and so I had plenty of cousins. And in our family economy, I had to mind my uncle just like he was my dad. If I was downtown and I saw one of my uncles, and my uncle said, "Hey, you need to stop doing that and get home." That's my uncle. You go home. If my uncle said something to me, I'd have to say, "Yes, sir. No, sir." And that's just the way it was. I like that. I know that's kind of vanishing from our society, but I don't think it should. Okay? I know there's some problems with that, and I'll discuss those in a second. But here's the list. I'll go through this list real quick. Number one, I think a younger person ought to give up their seat for an elder. If for no other reason, if it's not just for respect of their age, it's respect for their physical condition. By the way, I think you ought to give it your seat. If you're a healthy person and somebody comes in on a crutch, you ought to let them sit down and you ought to stand up. If you're a man and a lady comes in, you ought to stand up and offer her your seat. You say, "Oh, that's chauvinistic." Okay, whatever. I still believe the Bible says that's the weaker vessel, and I still say that man's supposed to be the leader. I'm reading from the Scripture, and I'm not going to change that. So I think that's appropriate to teach a child. Number two, I think you should open the door for an elder. I think even, I like it in our church. Several times we've had young people that escort people to their class. I know that the Yarber boy always escorts Pauline into the building when he's here. He holds her arm and they talk and everything. I think that's awesome. Okay. Open the door, listen, I know there are problems with that. It wasn't that many years ago. I was at a grocery store and didn't have the automatic doors, and our lady was going in, and I reached and opened the door and stood back, and she told me off. She's like, "What are you doing?" And I'll just open the door for you. Do I look like I need the door open for me? "No, ma'am, I was just trying to be nice." "Well, I don't need your help. Thank you." You say, "Did you stop opening the doors for ladies?" Nope. That's just one hard head. I don't care about that. All right. And sometimes you'll get that from older people. I've had older people say, "I don't need your help." That's okay. I'm still going to offer your help, and I still teach my kids to offer help. Even if somebody does give them a bad experience, that one bad experience doesn't cancel out everything else. Okay, so don't let that happen. So open the door for an elder, even escorting the feeble. Number three, let an elder go first. If you're at a church dinner and there are people older than you behind you, you go ahead. "I got strong legs." I don't say that. I wouldn't tell them that I got strong legs and you're weak. Obviously I'm not going to say that. But that's the concept, right? You go ahead. You take the best seat. And teach your children to do that. Best way, by the way, to teach that example is you do it. Hey, let's let them go first. Okay, so understand that, whether it's a church dinner or a line at a grocery store or whatever. There are not even lines at grocery store anymore, except for because you have to do it all yourself anyway. Isn't that crazy? Anyway, I'm not going to go there. Number four, standing when an elder enters the room. Now, that's something you don't see very much. I think that one's about gone. Would you agree with me? I rarely see that anymore. Typically, at our house, if an elder enters the room, maybe not. But if an elder enters the house, everybody stands up. So it's a little different. We've kind of shaded that one a little bit. Or a lady enters the room. How many of you have noticed that we do that on the platform? When ladies come on the platform, all the pastors stand. Okay. When I first came to Faith Baptist Church, I didn't know they did that. And I was the guy going, "Whoa." You know. Now I kind of look for it. I'm a little more aware. Well, didn't you like to do that? Well, yeah, I just didn't know they all did it. So I'd have felt funny if I've been the only one standing, but I'd rather be that guy than the guy sitting down. So number five, speaking when spoken to by an elder. By the way, that's basic courtesy anyway, right? You do speak when someone speaks to you. I know you have shy children. I know you have quiet children. That doesn't matter. They should still speak. If somebody says hi, they should say hi. At least a minimum response. Okay. Number six, responding properly to a question. You can make your decision on this. Yes, ma'am. No, ma'am. Yes, sir. No, sir. I do that. Even the younger people. If somebody says something, if I'm at a cashier at Walmart over here, and a young lady asks me anything else, sir, and I go, "No, ma'am." And I've actually had people say to me, "Why did you say ma'am?" And I will typically say this. "I'm from the South." That's my big excuse, because I was trained to say that and I can't stop saying it. It just comes out of my mouth naturally. And my kids do the same. Even Carrie and Dean at their age now, and they're 40, 41 years old. They're still saying that. They still do it. And I think it's a good thing to do. And yes, somebody's going to give you a hard time. Yes, somewhere along the line, your waitress is going to say, "Don't call me ma'am." And by the way, if they say, "Don't call me ma'am," don't call them ma'am. Okay, and if somebody tells your child, "Don't call me ma'am," you explain to them, "Hey, we still do that to everybody else, but she doesn't like that, and we're not going to do it." Don't make a big deal about it in that one instance. Just go past it. Number six, responding properly to a question. I just said that. Number seven, saying, "I'm sorry," "Excuse me," "Please," "Thank you," when appropriate. Right? You guys do teach that. How many of you still teach that? You still teach that, right? Thank you. Somebody does some. Do you do the, "What do you say?" You guys do that? You should. What do you say? "Thank you." And somebody tells them thank you. And you say, You're welcome. Okay, so you got to get that across. I think all those things are important. Number eight, and making, this is a big one for me, making and keeping eye contact during a conversation. Most of you know I visit a lot of hospitals. I visit a lot of nursing homes, shut-ins, that sort of thing. And I like to take the interns with me because I will lecture them to no end about, I not only want you to make eye contact when I'm talking to somebody, especially somebody who hasn't had anybody in their house for a long time and they want to talk. I want you to make eye contact with them, and I will tell the intern, when you're here, I want you to ask at least five questions. And they're like, what do you mean? Come up with five questions. Because they're going to tell you something, and when they ask, to show interest, I want you to know, like we were talking to Donna Thomas, and she was talking about getting a new roof on, blah, 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 and Stephen Allen goes, oh, what company are you using? And I just kind of like, yeah, that's a good boy. Very good. He's showing interest in what she's doing, and that's respectful. It lets them know, I'm paying attention. You're important to me. I have also been visiting with people, visiting a nursing home, and they're watching the TV while I'm talking to the person in the nursing home. Because they have the TV, and they're, you know, very disrespectful. You're not there to watch Bonanza. Because most of them like Westerns. I don't know why. There's a lot of Westerns in nursing homes. If you visited, you know I'm right. But they're watching. No, no. It's about the person. Talking to them. In a hospital, you want to be interested in the person. You have to be careful how interested you are because some things you don't want to know. Okay? So understand that. So make and keep eye contact during a conversation. And not just in those situations, but in any conversation. Anybody ever talk to somebody and they're not the people who won't look at you while they're talking? I've had people talk to me and I want to go. I'm over here, you know. Keep eye contact, teach your children. By the way, that is hard for some children. It's not hard for my children, but it's hard for a lot of children to do that. And they have to be taught to do that. Number nine, listen respectfully to an elder's story. Be patient. You ever had a kid say something like this to an adult? You already said that. No. You may not realize this. I'm already there. We repeat stuff. I tell the same story over and over. You know, you may not realize this, but I repeat stuff. Sometimes I tell the same story. Why are you laughing? Did I say something funny? Seriously, and I meant to be funny, but you, how many of you have seen that? You've talked to someone, and that story. I want my children just to, I don't know how many times this has happened. Somebody's telling the story over and over, and I'm looking at the person with me, and we're just kind of like, I know. Just let it go. Just let them talk. But they just talk. It's okay. It won't hurt you. Okay? What have you got to do so important that you've got to get out of there and you can't listen to the same story again? It's okay. You'll be fine. Just show a little patience. Show a little care, a little concern. That's respecting the elderly. Number 10, helping when you can before you're asked, doing more than asked for those who are older. Go out of your way. Look, if you're visiting a nursing home, is there anything you can do right there, right then? It's a good thing to say, if you need anything, call me. But can I tell you something? Oh, let me take a survey. How many of you have ever said to somebody who's sick or somebody who's had a problem, if you need anything, call me and I'll take care of it? How many of you have ever said that? All right, that's pretty much most of your hands. How many of you have said that and nobody's ever called you? They don't. So look for it at the time. Is there anything I can do today while I'm here? You'd be surprised some of the things. I mean, I've done some really complicated things, and I've done things as, well, there's a bottle on the counter in there. I cannot get that pickle jar open. Would you? Sure. You know? You say that's not a big thing. It is if you want pickles. You can't get the jar open. So, yeah. Is there anything I can do right now before I leave the house? I'll be glad to do it for you. That's a lot better than if you need me, call me. Because you and I both know that's probably not going to happen. People don't like to put that on other people. If they ask you to take out the trash, this is a Becky thing, my wife thing. Take out the trash, wash the can, put a new bag in it. Becky would probably say, the can looks bad, we'll buy you a new can. That's just the way. She's always going through the stream on stuff. Don't look at me like that, woman. You know I'm telling the truth. Okay. If you see it, basically what I'm saying is this. If you see a need, meet it. Meet it as you can. Okay? Don't wait around for something to happen. It's better, I tell you what, if somebody's sick, it's better to bring the meal than to call and ask if they need a meal. Everybody I know has a refrigerator. And if they don't eat tonight, they'll eat it the next night. Don't wait around. Now, I say that and somebody will get five meals in one night. But that's better than nobody caring. Right? So think about those kind of things. Teach your kids to think about those kind of things. Teach them to see what's going on, to see what's happening. It's the same thing when you get to, we'll get to later about your household chores and stuff. I don't want to have to tell my kids every time the grass needs to be mowed. That's your job. Mow it. I shouldn't have to do that, right? I shouldn't have to get up every day and say, make your bed, right? They need to see that's the need, that's the responsibility to do it. Same thing's true in this area. Number 11, teach your children to spend time with the elderly. I would say this, teach your children to find something they can do with them. Our grandkids do a lot with us. We still run and walk a little, and so we run and walk with them. We ran with some of them last night, and we can do stuff like that. But that's not all. How many of you know what Five Crowns, the card game Five Crowns? Yeah, we got some Five Crown people in here. That is a good card game. We have little tournaments. For some reason, Rocky is a killer at Five Crowns. Rocky's a killer at all games. She plays for blood. She will play, and everybody must die. You know, where Becky is like, Becky and Anna are like, oh, you didn't mean to play that? Okay, pick it up. It's okay. And Rocky's over there going, no, no. But we have a good time at that. You can do stuff. I've heard young people say all the time, when they're with elderly people, I'm bored. What is it you say, Carrie? I'm bored. Only boring people are bored. I love that saying. That's her little saying. I've had the kids say that to me, with older people, and say, oh, this is boring. I said, it's not boring. You're just rude. Right? When a kid says that, who is he thinking about? Himself. Yeah. Does that sound biblical to you? That's just selfishness. You're not there. You have a whole day for yourself. You have 1 hour with this person and you're bored. Well, too daggone bad. You need to put your life invest your life into somebody else's life and respect them. They haven't had somebody come by. You know how many times an average nursing home patient gets visited in a week? One, if they're lucky. Yeah. Gloria's back there going zero. That's probably closer. It's between zero and one. When I visit nursing homes, I am a hero at nursing homes. I'm just going to say it. I mean, I'll go and I'll sit there for a long... And I am one popular dude in nursing... Well, you would be too. If you visit, you say, well, he's... No, anybody who visits a nursing home is immediately popular. And let me give you a little clue. If you bring your grandkids, you are like king. And if you bring your grandkids and you get your grandkids to sing for them, you are God. Well, not really, but you get the idea. I mean, seriously, that is a big, big thing. Because now I've not only thought about you to visit you, but I brought somebody else to see you, and they were younger, and they talked to you. You know how rare that is anymore? Go to a nursing home, see how many kids under the, how many teenagers and under you see in the nursing home. If you see one, I'll be impressed. I mean, I'm not talking about in that room. I'm talking about in the whole place. That's a shame. That's an absolute shame. That shouldn't happen. And we need to teach our kids better than that, okay? Spend time with the elderly. I don't know where I got off on all that. Number 12, stand, smile, respond in kind when introduced. I think that's reasonable. If you're sitting on the couch and somebody comes over, hey, this is Mr. Smith. Yeah. No. No. Get up. Shake their hand. And by the way, this is not a handshake. Okay? I don't care if you're a boy or a girl. That's not a hand. I can't take that. If you do that to me, I'm going to crush your hand. I'm just going to tell you right now. I will put a grip on it that you'll remember. Oh, okay. Yeah, that's right. Old man can still squeeze. So teach them how to shake a hand, how to look people in the eye. You say, you really believe all those are biblical principles? Absolutely. It's showing respect and importance to the other person. Each esteem the other better than themselves. That's a biblical principle. Put away selfishness, right? So understand, all these things have to do with the same biblical principle. So where am I at? Number 10? No, I'm way past that. Number 13. Okay. Ask advice of an elder. Value experience. I think that's wonderful that they do that. I love it when my kids do that to me. I love it when my grandkids ask my advice. My grandkids tend to ask theological advice of me, something that they go to a Christian school. So if they hear something they don't know about, they call granddaddy. That's wonderful. I think that's awesome. And I think you need to teach your kids. There are people in our church that have a lot of information that you can learn from. You say, I don't know, look it up on the internet. No. Don't look it up on the internet. You know, call one of the pastors. Call one of the deacons in our church. Our deacons are varied, have varied skills. I mean, they can do a little bit of everything. Call one of them. Say, hey, John Daughter. If I called you and said, hey, John, my granddaughter wanted to ask you a question about finances. Would you talk to her? And when, after you talk to her, what would you think? Would you think that would be a good thing or a bad thing? Yeah, and you'd like that, right? Okay, so we have deacons that do all kinds of things. We have men in our church. We have electricians. I don't think we have a plumber. I don't know if we have a plumber. We need a plumber. But we have electricians. We have carpenters. Don't look it up on it. Don't go to YouTube. I got guys. And I'll tell you what. If you taught them to do that, those guys will teach them a lot better than what they learned on YouTube, plus no cursing. Okay? Hopefully. Ask advice from the value of experience. Number 14, put things back in their place. Ugh. Well, you don't have to be older. How many of you are like me? There's a place for everything and everything in its place. And when you use my stuff and it's not in my place, oh, that's frustrating. Trying to find my stuff because you used it? No. It goes right back. And by the way, don't do this. Granddaughter comes, Grandpa, can I use your screwdriver? Yeah, it's in the garage. That's a Philip. You'll need a, you know, Philip size 2 there. You get that. It's in that bag. Okay, she gets through. She goes, I left it on the table for you. If you think I'm picking up, putting it in the bag, you're crazy. That's not where you left, where you got it. Oh, you want me to put it back? Yeah. Yes, I do. Teach them that. That's just respect for, that's not just age. That's respect for anybody. Put things back where they come from. By the way, especially for older people, we have hard enough time finding things anyway. Okay. Anybody ever put your keys in the refrigerator?
You have?
I didn't say I had. I asked if anybody had. It was just an example.
Okay.
I'll try to read things into it. Okay. No, my favorite one is I use hairspray because my hair is so light, but I always take my glasses off and in the cabinet. There's a cabinet right here, so I put it up there so that. And then I walk in the other room, and the next half hour I'm going, where did I put my glasses? They're always in the same place where you put them in the bathroom, you big dummy. Put them back where they belong, okay? Number 15, don't run carelessly around those who are older. By the way, that is absolutely something that needs to be taught at this church. How many of you have already recognized we have people in our church that are a little more frail, a little more feeble than other people? Would you agree with that? How many people have noticed that frail and feeble people don't do good on slanted aisles? Have you noticed that? Okay, so you got an older lady walking up a slanted aisle, afraid to, and some kid, look, no. My grandkids are just as guilty as anybody else, and I always stop, hey, no running, stop that. He said, well, nobody's even here, I'm not bothering anybody. You don't know that. You get somebody off balance, and they'll go down, and then you're going to feel bad. So teach them not to run around older people. That's not a good plan. Let's see. I keep forgetting. I got to stay by my notes because I keep losing my place. Number 16. Don't correct an elder unnecessarily or impolitely. Okay? I'm not telling you to say you can't correct an elder. There are times that that's appropriate. The way you do it and the time you do it and the place you do it are all part of it. But to say to an elder, that's not right. You're just stupid. Oh, my goodness. No. You do know that's wrong. By the way, it doesn't matter if they're an elder or not. You don't correct anybody like that. I mean, I don't think that's right. I disagree. Can I tell you why? That's an elder. That's another thing. Okay? Nothing wrong with being corrected when you're wrong, by the way. Or shouldn't be. Number 17, understand how to play with adults and know when to stop. Anybody had a problem training that one? Now I'm guilty on this one because I like to play, and I like to wrestle, and I like to run, and I like to throw kids up in the air, and I like to pick them up and throw them from across into the bed, you know, from the doorway. I have a blast of that. I like to punch them. I like to shove them, and they like to do that with me. The problem is when I shove you and then you punch me in the mouth. Where's the line, right? There is, and you've got to teach them, hey, When I say stop, okay, that's it, we're done. What does that mean? We're done. Stop. So that has to be taught, and they need to understand that. There's a lot of older people that, you know, kind of goof around a little bit, and then the kid gets crazy. Sometimes we bring it on ourselves, we're older, but don't blame us. You know, control the child for us, if you would. I appreciate it. I feel like I'm defending myself. Number 17, understand how to play with... I said that. Number 18, quickly obey without challenge to obvious authorities. Right? It's obvious who's in charge. Teach them, you know, like I said earlier, there may be an opportunity with a policeman giving you a wrong order. That's a rare thing. But obvious authorities, you're in school, she's the teacher. Is that an obvious authority? If the teacher says sit down, what should you do? I mean, don't be ridiculous. You sit down. You don't have an option here. And kids think, she can't tell me to do that. Yes. Yes, you can. You're a child, and many people will be telling you what to do. You get used to it. Well, when I'm an adult, nobody will tell me what to do. How many have figured that one out? Does that work for you? That has never worked for me. Everywhere I have gone, every place I've ever lived, every church I have ever worked in, and every business I have ever worked for, somebody told me what to do. People are always going to tell you what to do. You can't drive down the street with somebody saying you can't drive that fast, right? Or you shouldn't drive that fast, right? There's nothing. You can't go in the grocery store and say, excuse me, I'm going now. It's my turn. Get used to rules. Rules are fine. Teach your kids that, you know, that's okay. You understand, never challenge the obvious authorities. Number 19, eliminate physical signs of disrespect. We'll get a little bit deeper in this when we get into a little bit later. But that whole huffing and puffing, and you don't really mind me when I say, I need you to go make your bed. Nope. That's not the way we're going to do this. Nope. But that you say, well, I don't care as long as they make the bed. I care. And you should care. That's disrespectful. Oh, Dad. That's disrespectful. No, don't tolerate that stuff. You don't have to tolerate that stuff. Make sure you're staying on top of that. And then number 20, I believe you should use titles of respect. Don't refer to your elders by their first name, especially parents and grandparents. I know people who do that. That's weird. I know I may be old-fashioned, but that's okay. Laugh at me if you want to. But if one of my grandkids said to me, hey, Morris, I would. If it was one of the five girls, I wouldn't say a word. I'd say, come here. Michelle, why don't you ask her what she just called me? And then I'd leave the house. Because I don't want to know what's going to happen after that. I have a good idea, but I don't want to know. Okay? So, we should do that. And by the way, there's another note down here. By the way, whatever happened to Mr. and Mrs.? I believe it's morally correct for children to use titles of honor when addressing adults. It shows honor for age, authority. Should be say honor, age, authority, and position. Okay? Their terms of acknowledgement to authority and emphasize special relationships. These would include Mr. President, right? Whether you agree with him or not, Mr. President, your honor. By the way, try that. Try not saying that in court. See how far you get with that deal. You better say that. Your honor, officer. By the way, I like officer. That's a good word. Cop, not so much. Policeman, that sounds too weird. Officer, the officers that are out here, if I don't know them and they haven't told me to call them by their first name, like Officer Pride, that's one of our officers, P-R-I-D-E. I don't know his first name. I've never had a long talk with him. So that's when he comes in and says, hey, Officer Pride, how you doing? I don't think that sounds weird. It shows respect for his position. Aunt, uncle, pastor, mister, missus. Okay. Now, there are going to be times you're going to say, your kid's going to say to somebody, hey, Mr. Smith, and he's going to say to them, don't call me Mr. Smith. I'm only 60 years older than you. Call me Bob. We don't have a Bob Smith here, do we? I don't think we do. So, what do you do then? I would tell my child to do this. I'd say, well, I would, but my parents would rather me call you Mr. Smith. Is it okay if I just say Mr. Smith? I think that's fine. And I guarantee you most people will go along with that. And if you're one of those people, by the way, and you're 40, 20, 30, 40, 50 years older than people, and you're telling the kids, stop that. You're not buddies. You're not the same age. Okay? Get over it. You're old. It's okay. Several years ago when I visited, I was on a mission trip in Vietnam, and I don't know why, but several of the people in Vietnam kept telling me, I should dye my white hair and you would look much younger. And my response was, I have 8 grandchildren. I don't want to look much younger. I'm as old as I am. I need all the sympathy I can get on this planet. I like the white hair. It tells people I'm old, and it's okay. It's okay. You do understand it's okay getting older, right? Take the position, enjoy it, all right? Number 3, using Mr. and Mrs. recognizes the fact that time has not made us equal. We're not on the same plane. You're not a child and they're not an adult. There is a difference. By the way, there is a difference not only physically, there's a difference spiritually and biblically. Children need to be children and, oh boy, I wish I could, this would be a message. Adults need to be adults. Act like an adult. I mean, that's, I'm not talking about never kid around and that sort of thing, but don't be silly and goofy and get down on the kids' level and stay there. I get down on the kids' level every now and then. I have a good time. And then all of a sudden, I'm the boss again. And I'm in charge again. And everybody understands it. So you, don't let that end. Act your age. Don't scold a child for honoring your age. There may be people who don't want to be called ma'am. There may be people who don't want to be called sir. There may be people who don't want to use Mr. and Mrs. Don't be one of those people. And if a child does that, don't say, don't call me old. I ain't. Don't. Stop. What are you doing? Our society's already in a bad enough shape. Somebody wants to show respect. Would you please let them show respect? Okay? Using Mr. and Mrs. as a way of honoring older generations and teaching humility. Now, let me teach you something we call the interrupt rule. I think this is not mine. This also comes from Gary Ezra's book, and I thought it was real good. Train children to properly interrupt a conversation. How many of you have ever been in a conversation? It's happened at church. I guarantee you. You're standing there talking to another adult. Your child wants to ask you a question. What did they do? They walk up and say, hey, Dad, nope. That's rude. They don't want to. So what do you teach them? Well, we teach them what we call the interrupt rule. And you say, you really taught your kids this? Did I, Carrie? Yes, I did. This is how we do it. And they did it very well. So here's what we tell people to do. I tell kids to rest their hand on your side or your shoulder and wait patiently until you acknowledge. My kids would come up to me sometimes, and I'd be talking to somebody, and this was back when we were younger, they were at Eagle Dale. I'd be talking to another adult, and my kids would walk up beside me and just put their hand on my shirt. And sometimes I would go, sometimes I'd make them wait just because they need to wait. Patience is a good thing. You can hang on. This conversation is more important than your conversation. This is an adult, and you're a child. And all you want to do, by the way, is go to somebody's house after church, and we'll talk about that later. But I don't have any problem with that. Now, we changed that. We changed that as the kids got older because sometimes that puts pressure. If people know I do that, they feel pressured. Like I'm talking, let's say Malcolm and I are talking, we're having a conversation, and one of my granddaughters comes up now and they put their hand on me. What are you likely to say in that situation, Malcolm? You said exactly what I thought you'd say. Oh, no, go ahead and talk to her. No. I would say, no, we'll finish. That's okay. She can wait. And now he feels bad because, oh, I'm making a check. So he's going to cut us, wouldn't you? I know you. You would do that. Okay. So here's what we did. I told my kids as they got older, don't do that anymore. What I want you to do is go behind the person that's over here and make eye contact with me and just stand there. And after a minute, I'll say, hang on just a second. What do you need? Okay. Okay. So then that person doesn't feel like I have to stop talking because his child wants to talk to me. You ever felt that way? Like, oh boy, I'm in the way now. And you don't want to do that to anybody. So we changed that a little bit on ours. In emergency or time-sensitive situations, teach them to say, excuse me. There are times when they need to talk to you right now. You know, hey, mom fell on the parking lot and busted her face. I'll be with you in a minute. Okay. No. In that situation, I want you to say, Dad, excuse me, but there's an emergency. Okay. So there's exceptions to rules. You understand that. But I think that's a good thing. You're telling the other person again. What are we saying? Whether it's elderly or anybody else, we're saying you're important. We're saying you matter. Okay? And that's a Christ-like thing to do. So number 4, the problem, often the older person sees the child waiting. He feels pressure to break off the conversation to accommodate the child. So don't do that. Benefit, it becomes another way for the child to give honor while at the same time communicating need. Sometimes kids do need to know. Okay? Kid goes down the hall. New church, he doesn't know where he's going. He comes back and he wants you to tell him where he's going. Just a minute. No. Okay. There's a point where you have to break off and find out what's going on. And B, it teaches the child patience. Anybody would disagree with this? We all need to learn to wait. How many times have I said this in my lifetime? You're not the most important person in the world. Calm down. Right? Life is not all about you. Catch your breath. All right? We'll get to you in a minute. You're going to be waiting the rest of your life. It amazes me how a kid who can't wait 3 seconds to ask, can she go over to Susie's house, but 3 hours in the line at Kings Island, no problem. Yeah. You can wait. I think you can figure it out. Okay? How about shyness and honor? Shyness, number one, is not an acceptable excuse for being rude or disrespectful. Shyness is not morally right or wrong. Some kids are shy. Some kids are bashful. They don't talk much. That doesn't mean they shouldn't talk at all. So here's what I require of shy kids. Any child. A simple greeting requires a simple minimum response. If somebody says hi to your child, they say, what's the minimum response to hi? Hi. Okay. What is the minimum response to, don't look at your notes. What is the minimum response to, how are you today? I heard one say fine. That's close. But I heard the answer back here. Fine. Thank you. Okay. If they say, my, that's a pretty dress you have on. What's the minimum response?
Thank you.
Okay. How about if they say, what's your name? You say your name. That's the minimum response. Okay. It's nice to meet you. That may be a little bit different. It's nice to meet you. What's the minimum response? Nice to meet you too. You can teach a kid to do this. Learn to think for you. If they say gracias, you say, no, we're kidding. De nada. Exactly. So, teach your children that the minimum response, they don't have to carry on a 5-minute conversation. This is my kids. Hi, how are you doing? Well, I'm fine. I was out playing volleyball and we didn't even say, calm down. None of my kids, I don't think we have a bashful grandchild, do we? Maybe Ray-Bay's a little, Rebecca's a little, if she doesn't know you. Yeah, but the rest of them, no, not so much. But that's okay. I do realize that there are some shy kids and that bashfulness is a problem sometimes, but rudeness is not an excuse for bashfulness. Bashfulness is not an excuse for rudeness. So that, just teach them, I just need a minimum, you don't have to talk to them forever, son. Just say hi. They said hi, now you say hi. Okay? Let's see where I'm at. Number three, give the child the answer at first, but soon teach them to answer for themselves. What do we say? When they're under 6 years old, a lot of times you're going to have to give them the answer. You know, somebody says something, and I will say, you say thank you. Oh, thank you. When they're 15, I shouldn't have to be saying, you say thank you. I haven't done a very good job if I'm still doing that, right? So make sure earlier you'll be doing that. Yes, I do believe you practice at home, not in public. If they don't say it, do me a favor. And this comes along when we talk about correction later on, the lesson everybody wants to get to. Do we spank? Do we do this? What do we? We'll get to that. Don't correct them and don't make a big deal about it in front of the other people. Anybody ever do that to you and you feel guilty? Like, oh, man, I shouldn't have said nothing to that child. Whoa, he's in trouble now. I don't want to be that guy, right? So a lot of times I'll say thank you. And if they don't say thank you, I'm not then going to go, say thank you. And then they don't say thank you. Excuse me, just a minute. You say thank you. Now the other person's like, anybody been there? That's a horrible feeling. So I would say thank you. Oh, you didn't say that? Okay. We're going to be working on this. I'm sorry. And then later on, me and that child and I are going to have a little conversation. Next time, you will say thank you. And here, if you don't, here are the consequences. I like to give consequences up front and then follow through on those consequences, which, again, we'll talk about that in a later lesson. So, where am I at here? I've already said all of number four there. Don't make the other person feel guilty. Say something like, I'm sorry, we're working on that. Then go home and actually work on it. Don't tell them you're working on it and then don't work on it. And don't be surprised, by the way, if that person doesn't say you have a nice dress next week again. Because they've already felt like, oh boy. Number five, a child's failure to respond appropriately is not as much a reflection on his or her temperament as it is a reflection on his or on the parent's conviction and resolve to honor age. Discipline a child has more to do, I believe, has more to do with the parent than it does the child. It's hard. And it's time consuming. And sometimes you have to do it more than you want to do it. But it's got to be done. You're training, you're only going to train them at the most probably for 15 years. He said, they're going to be there. Yeah, you'll be still training them after that. But the majority of that training is done. Usually by 7 or 8, you should have most of the majority of these simple things done, right? And the training gets easier. But if you don't put in the time in those early years, man, those teenage years are going to be horrible. When I was growing up, people always told me, man, you're going to hate it when your kids get to be teenagers. They're rebellious. They're this, they're this. I'll be honest with you. I had more fun in their teenage years than I have more fun with them now when we hang out without the kids and just go do stuff. They're buddies now, friends. But I didn't have any problem with teenage years. I had a great time in teenage years. Did you like them in elementary school and junior high? Let's not talk about that. Girls in junior high. No, that was... Any other girls? Did you have a tough time in junior high? What is it, junior high? I don't... Carrie raises her hand. We all know that, Carrie. Okay. This minor sin is often the child's first willful choice to defy authority. If they can defy authority not saying thank you, that leads to other defiances. Well, then I'll defy you here and I'll defy you here. You've got to win these early battles, because if you don't, the later battles are going to be much harder. Now, I promised you last week I gave you a little bonus in this lesson, and it doesn't have as much to do with age, although I think it does, because us older folks are a little less patient with phones than those of you who may be younger. Okay, so I'm giving you this just a list. Now, do me a favor. If I'm going to give you this list, and some of your kids have phones, do not go home and institute this list and say, this is what Brother Moore says the rules for the phone should be. Thank you for making your child hate me. Okay? No, this is your decision, not my decision. I'm giving you suggestions. Okay? So, and I think all these suggestions, again, they're based on principles of selflessness. They're based on principles of kindness. Okay? Those kind of principles involved in this. So, for instance, I'm going to run through it real quick. I got 10 minutes. So the main principle is that the child must understand that having a cell phone, you do believe this, right? It is a privilege. Regardless of what the United States government tells you, you do not have a right to a cell phone. That's ridiculous. No, it's a privilege. You abuse the privilege, you better get this right, parents. If they abuse the privilege, what happens to the phone? They lose the phone. I don't know why that... You say you're being silly. No, I know parents who kids abuse the privilege, and they say if you abuse the privilege, you won't have the phone, and then leave the phone with them. It's like, what was that about? So there are no consequences? Then why are you telling me rules? I'm serious. If you're not, why you put 55 miles an hour on 465? Are you kidding me? There are no consequences of driving 65 on 465. Are there? So if there are no consequences, what happens? Everybody but Morris is driving. People hate me. But you get the general idea. I mean, that's just the way it is. Okay, so if you don't have consequences for your action, you're never going to get anything done. So it's not a privilege, and this privilege can be taken away at any time if he doesn't follow the rules set by the parents. Let me add to that. Not only can it be taken away, it's a privilege, and not only can it be taken away if you don't obey the rules, but it's a privilege I give freely, and it's a privilege I can take any time I want to freely. I don't have to have a reason. I pay for it. I gave it to you. You're using my phone, not your phone. Amen? You need to get that across early, because the day I take it, hey, what are you doing with my phone? I don't have your phone. I have my phone that I was letting you use. I warned you about this. Now my phone is still with me. If you would like to use my phone again, we're going to have some downtime where you can't use it, and then we'll talk about whether or not you can use it again. I think that's very reasonable, people. I don't know what everybody thinks. I got through just fine my whole life. I got asked, it's been a couple months ago. I got asked out in the foyer, we were talking about this, and somebody in the foyer asked me, well, when you were a youth pastor, what did you do with cell phones? I was a youth pastor in 1977, okay? Not a lot of cell phones going on at the time. So, no, I didn't have that problem, nor did I have the problem with the Internet. So it was a little different. So number one, kids must know their parents' number. I think that's reasonable and wise. And preferably another trustworthy person's cell number. Phones today, that's not a problem. They should also know how to make 911 calls in an emergency situation. You know that. Number two, it's important the kids be taught to keep their number private. Please teach your children this. Don't just text your number to anybody. You met a guy. He was real nice and he seemed very trustworthy. No. Okay. I think you know that. That should become part of their wider understanding of social safety and the importance of protecting all their own personal data. I need to teach some adults that. Hey, we'll send you a free this if you'll send us your social security number or your email. Just send us your email address and you'll get a free gift. And by the way, sometimes you get a free gift. But somebody's got your email number or address and now they find out. Anyway, you get the idea. Number three, children should, as soon as possible, alert their parents if they get suspicious. If they get a suspicious call or text. That's one of the principles. You have my phone. Somebody calls my phone. It's not your phone. Somebody calls my phone. You don't know who it was. You need to let me know. Especially if somebody calls your phone and talks dirty or does something inappropriate, you better let me know. We'll change the number. So let me know. If you get a bad text, and by the way, nothing's wrong with checking your kid. I get asked this all the time. You think it's okay for me to scan my kid's text? I think it's foolish if you don't. How about that? My wife knows every code there is in my phone. There's only one. And my wife will regularly walk over, pick up my phone, and start scanning through it. The only thing she doesn't read is the FBC group text because we say things in there that she has no business knowing sometimes. But, yeah. So if you text me, Becky probably read it. It's okay, right? I'll read hers if I feel like it. She doesn't get it. Nothing there anyway. So let your kids know that you'll do that. Number four, answering parents' calls immediately or as soon as reasonably possible is a widely used rule and it makes a lot of sense. I was getting smart like here. The primary purpose of a smartphone, after all, is communication. If I call you on my phone, you should answer it. And if you can't answer it because you're, you know, in school or something like that, I thought you were out of class and you weren't, you call me as soon as the class is over. I called you for a reason. That's rude not to answer. It's rude anybody, by the way. Never mind. I'll get off on track. And number five, kids should be aware of the basics of the phone call etiquette and conduct themselves accordingly. This includes being polite during a phone conversation, not sending mean messages to others via text or chat lines, not calling every 15 seconds if another person's busy. You think kids know that? Some people just think kids know. Well, I called 15 times and never answered. You called what? No, you don't do that. That they didn't answer the first time, an hour later you can call again. If they don't answer then, don't keep calling. Stop it. That's ridiculous. They need to be taught that. Number six, if you drop a call, call them back. Be polite. It might be a good idea to have some phone free time each day. You can read that one for yourself. I don't think there's anything wrong with telling the kid 9 o'clock at night the phone goes away, it comes in the back into my possession, 9 o'clock tomorrow you can have it back. What if somebody calls me at night? You're not going to answer it anyway, right? Oh, no. Well, what if they send me a text in the middle of the night? You'll be asleep. And if somebody keeps texting, I'll answer them for you. Getting texts at 3 in the morning, I'll take care. Don't worry, Dad's got it. You just go right ahead. Okay? Anyway, you can read that one for yourself. Your kids will hate me for that one, I'm sure. Number eight, be careful not to text while walking or while crossing the street. You'd think that's funny, but anybody ever seen the phone zombie? Walking through the shopping center, you're like, dude, watch where you're going. You hurt somebody, you hurt yourselves. Number nine, of course, don't do it while you're driving. Not only is it a bad idea, it's illegal in Indiana. Should I emphasize that again? It's illegal in Indiana. Not just for your kids, by the way. You understand what I'm saying, right? Number 10, don't talk or text while you're in the company of other people. It makes that person that you're with feel ignored and unimportant. If you must answer a call or text, say something like, excuse me, I have to take this call. It's my mom. Right? But I've actually been talking. I don't know if you've ever had this happen. I can think two or three people who do this to me all the time. We're having a conversation. And I'm like, excuse me. Yeah. And it's just somebody else is having a normal conversation. You want to talk to them. It's like, if at least you could do is say, let me get this. Hey, I'll call you back. Fine. You know, really? Just stop talking to me and pick up your phone? What happened? I love it when that happens at a restaurant. You know, you're standing there at the counter ordering, and the phone rings, and the person taking my order is now, just a minute. Is somebody calling in an order? I mean, even if they are, I'm here now, and I'm first. Anyway, you get the idea. Let's see. Number 11, don't talk loud in public places. I've actually answered people in a grocery store. I've actually been walking down the aisle in the grocery store, and a lady beside me said, "Hey, what are you doing?" "What?" "Oh, she's got the earbud in, talking real loud." I'm, "Oh, you're not talking to me." Anybody else? I'm the only one who's ever... Okay, thank you, Ralph. That's because you're old like me, Ralph. We don't know any better.
Just annoying.
Okay. I like the 10-foot rule. That's a good rule. You can read the rest of that. I'm running out of time, so I'm going to go real fast. By the way, here's an important issue. Listen to me real close here. Don't snap pictures or videos of others without their permission. Don't do it. And if you do, don't post it without their permission. Don't do that. Okay? And you teach your kids to do the same. Kids should be not allowed to make in-app purchases without preliminary permission from their parents. Respect school rules regarding smartphones, rules in church, rules in public restaurants, right? It's very annoying to be sitting at a table and somebody's phone's ringing beside me. If the phone's broken or lost through the fault of the child, they should be ready to recover some or part of the cost or to buy the new phone. By the way, set that up ahead of time. I'm going to let you use this phone. If you break it, you'll pay to repair it. If you lose it, you'll pay to replace it. You say, "Well, my kid's too young for that, to do that. They don't have a job." Then they probably shouldn't have a phone. Just saying. All right. If the phone's broken, that's the last thing. That's not a complete list, but you get the idea. That was your bonus lesson tonight. Hopefully you can use that. Again, do not tell your kids you got that from me. They all hate me.